Welcome to the Be Freed podcast, where we distill the world's best sources into personalized insights you can actually use. I'm Naya, and today we're diving into a skill that might just transform every relationship in your life.
And I'm Jackson. We're exploring how to increase your emotional intelligence, something that affects everything from your career success to your closest relationships. Ever wished you could stay calm when your inbox explodes or read your partner's mood before a fight starts? That's EI in action.
Exactly. And the good news is emotional intelligence isn't fixed. It's trainable. We've pulled insights from heavyweight researchers like Daniel Goleman and Lisa Feldman Barrett, plus top podcasts like Huberman Lab and Modern Wisdom to create a practical roadmap. So, Jackson, when we say emotional intelligence, what exactly are we talking about? Because I feel like it's become such a buzzword.
Great question. There are actually two main frameworks. First is ability EI, perceiving, using, understanding, and managing emotions. Think of it as what you can do with emotions. Then there's trait EI, which includes broader self-perceptions like optimism and sociability.
So one is more skill-based and the other is more about personality traits?
Exactly. For everyday life, both matter. But the ability model gives us clearer targets for improvement. And improvement matters more than ever. Hybrid work, constant context switching, and all our digital communication strips away emotional nuance.
I've definitely felt that. I can't count how many times I've misinterpreted a text message or email tone.
Right? And research backs this up. Large sample reviews show EI predicts better job performance and student outcomes even after controlling for IQ and personality. Teams with higher emotional intelligence move faster with fewer interpersonal costs.
That makes sense. So what does modern science tell us about how emotions actually work in our brains?
Naya read in a relatable, casual, empathetic voice, like a best friend who just gets you.
This is where it gets fascinating. In her viral TED Talk, neuroscientist Lisa Feldman Barrett argues that we aren't passive victims of hardwired fear circuits. Our brains actually construct emotions from predictions, body sensations, and concepts, what she calls body budgeting.
Wait, so my emotions aren't just happening to me? I'm creating them?
In a way, yes. Barrett says you aren't at the mercy of your emotions. Your brain creates them. The practical takeaway? Change the concepts and context you use, and you can change your emotional experience.
That's actually empowering. What about that thing therapists always say? Name it to tame it. Is there science behind that?
Absolutely. A famous fMRI study showed that putting feelings into words reduces amygdala reactivity and recruits prefrontal control. Your brain literally calms down when you label emotions accurately.
And I've heard breathing techniques can help too.
Yes. A 2023 clinical trial found that just 5 minutes daily of cyclic sighing, where you emphasize the exhale, improved mood more than mindfulness meditation. It's like a physiological gear shift you can trigger anytime. So if we break down emotional intelligence into trainable skills, where do we start?
Let's use the four-branch model: perceiving, using, understanding, and managing emotions. For perception, it starts with growing your emotion vocabulary. Books like Brené Brown's Atlas of the Heart or Mark Brackett's Permission to Feel expand the concepts your brain uses.
I've read Atlas of the Heart. It was eye-opening to realize how many emotions I was lumping together as just bad or good.
That's called emotional granularity, being able to distinguish between similar emotions. Higher granularity links to better coping and fewer mental health issues. You can build it with daily emotion check-ins.
What about using emotions productively? I often feel like my emotions hijack my thinking.
That's branch two, using emotions to think better, not worse. Your breath is a fast control knob here. Try 1-3 physiological sighs before a hard conversation. Double inhale through the nose, long, slow exhale through the mouth.
I've actually tried that. It's surprising how quickly it works.
Another evidence-backed technique is reframing nerves as fuel. Studies show that teaching yourself, "This heart pounding helps me focus," improves cardiovascular responses and boosts performance on tasks like standardized tests.
So instead of thinking, "I'm so nervous," I could think, "My body is getting energized to perform well."
Exactly. It's not toxic positivity. It's a research-backed reinterpretation of arousal.
Let's talk about understanding emotions, both our own and others. This seems like the bridge between perception and management.
Great point. Understanding emotions means recognizing what triggers them and how they typically unfold. Psychologist James Gross's process model highlights when to intervene. Situation selection, situation modification, attention deployment, cognitive change, and response modulation.
That sounds complex. Can you break it down?
Sure. Say you're dreading a family gathering with a difficult relative. You could avoid going entirely, selection, bring a friend as buffer, modification, focus on pleasant conversations, attention, reframe it as I'm building resilience, cognitive, or practice deep breathing when triggered.
And I'm guessing earlier interventions work better?
Typically, yes. If you try to white-knuckle suppression at the end, you pay a psychological cost. Earlier moves like reappraisal generally work better.
What about managing emotions? That's where I struggle most.
For management, reappraisal is powerful. Changing "this feedback is an attack" to "this is a chance to sharpen my craft." Across labs and classrooms, this predicts better affect and outcomes without denying reality.
I also wonder about empathy burnout. I sometimes feel overwhelmed by others' emotions.
That's where training compassion, not just empathy, comes in. Short compassion trainings increased helping behavior and altered brain circuitry, building a "do something helpful" reflex that protects against burnout.
How do we bring these skills into everyday conversations that matter, at work, in love, with friends?
Before any important meeting or conversation, try two physiological sighs and set one intention. Write it at the top of your notes, something like, "be curious, not right."
I love that. And during the conversation?
Lead with observations and impact. Instead of, "you're careless," try, "when the report arrived without the appendix, I had to delay the client call. Could we agree on a checklist?" Notice how that focuses on behavior, not identity.
That feels much less likely to trigger defensiveness. What about after difficult moments?
Make repair attempts quickly. The best relationships aren't conflict-free, they repair fast. Even a simple, "I overreacted, sorry, can we try again?" can restore safety.
Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella talks about empathy a lot, right?
Yes. He often credits empathy as a core innovation skill. Meeting unarticulated needs requires putting yourself in other shoes. He doesn't see it as soft. It's how you understand what people truly need.
This all sounds great, but how do we actually build these skills systematically?
This all sounds great, but how do we actually build these skills systematically?
I've got a 30-day plan that takes just 10 to 20 minutes daily. Week 1 focuses on naming and noticing emotions. Do a daily mood check-in morning and evening, picking one specific word and noting one body sensation.
That sounds doable. What about week 2?
Week 2 is about reappraisal. When you feel keyed up, tell yourself, "this energy can help me focus." Practice during meetings or workouts and note the results. Also try HRV biofeedback with slow breathing, about 6 breaths per minute.
And weeks 3 and 4?
Week 3 deepens emotional granularity and compassion. Learn one new emotion term daily and use it in a sentence. Practice 10-minute compassion meditation 3 times, followed by 1 small helpful action.
I like how concrete these steps are.
Week 4 applies everything socially. Practice active listening daily, give real-time feedback using the behavior impact format, and review moments where emotions spiraled to identify better approaches next time. Before we wrap up, let's bust some myths. I've heard people say, "I'm just not an empathetic person."
That's a big myth. Empathy is plastic. Short compassion trainings increase helping behavior and change relevant brain circuits. That's not wishful thinking. It's fMRI and behavior change.
What about breath work? Some people dismiss it as woo.
The science is clear. A randomized trial found exhale bias cyclic sighing improved mood more than mindfulness. HRV biofeedback meta-analyses report large stress and anxiety reductions. This is science, not mysticism.
And the idea that stress is always bad?
Another myth. Interpreting arousal as functional improves cardiovascular responses and performance. You're not denying stress, you're steering it.
Oh, and one non-negotiable, sleep. Skimping on sleep reliably makes you more reactive and less regulated. That's a biological constraint, not a moral failing.
This has been incredibly practical, Jackson. If our listeners remember just five things, what should they be?
First, emotions are built, not just felt. Change concepts, context, and predictions to change your experience. Second, label, then breathe. Name it to tame it, then one or two physiological sighs to downshift. Third, reappraise arousal as fuel. It measurably improves performance and physiology. Fourth, train pro-social emotions. Compassion practice and all walks build connection and shrink self-preoccupation. Fifth, protect sleep like it's your most important EI habit. When you're rested, every other tool works better.
Those are fantastic takeaways, and I love that none of this is about becoming unflappable or artificially nice. It's about accuracy, effectiveness, and alignment.
Exactly. As Satya Nadella puts it, empathy isn't soft. It's how you meet unarticulated needs, which is the essence of innovation and leadership.
That's your Daily Dose of Smarter from Be Freed Podcast. I'm Nia.
And I'm Jackson. If your brain liked it, come back tomorrow. We've got more where that came from.